It is CFF. I'm clear, faggot. CFF. I'm clear, faggot. It is CFF. I'm clear, faggot. CFF. I'm clear, faggot. It is CFF. I'm clear, faggot. It is CFF. I'm clear, faggot.
Good morning, good morning.
What's going on?
Not much, just got in the car. K8RUH.
Yep, I just got my gas and my morning energy drink, and I am en route to the office.
Yeah, I gotta stop to get gas, and then I gotta maybe stop at Lowe's or Home Depot, see if they have any more salt. I am running low, and it looks like we're supposed to get another storm on Wednesday night.
I was just monitoring a Lapeer repeater, surprisingly picking it up down here, which is pretty cool. They were saying that there's supposed to be three more big ones coming, and one of them is coming Wednesday.
Yeah, there's Wednesday into Thursday, and then I saw something else talking about Saturday, which if we could not have a storm on Saturday, that'd be fantastic, but a little bit of snow never hurt anybody. I just don't want nothing over 3 inches.
Yeah, especially since I have a banquet in Livonia on Saturday. I really don't want to get stuck out there for 3 hours.
Yeah, I'm flying to Colorado on Saturday, and I have no interest in being delayed.
My parents just got back from Punta Cana, and they said that it took them longer to get from Chicago to Detroit because of the weather than it did to get from Punta Cana to Chicago.
Terrible. Dakota, you doubled with somebody. Whoever that was, go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. W8RCY. I'm watching the news as you guys are talking, and they said we're likely in, well, my area down here, Madison Heights, we're looking at about 6 inches out of this storm that starts Wednesday afternoon. That's my 2 cents. Continue on, gentlemen. Good morning. Have a good day.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, they forecast 6 inches all the time, and we end up with 3 or 2. So we'll see what happens. That's you know, it's Monday. It's a long way away. We'll see which way the storm tracks and see what happens. Over to you, Dakota.
Thanks, Donald. Have a good day. Excuse me. I don't care if we get 12 inches of snow. I just don't want ice. I can deal with snow. Snow's manageable. You can move it. You can drive through it. The ice thing is when the whole world starts to go crazy and no one knows how to drive anymore. So I'll take the snow. Don't want the ice.
I can agree with that. Yeah, it was, I got delayed on Thursday when we had the ice last week, and they told us not to come into the office until 10 o'clock. By 10 o'clock, it was fine. So, but, yeah, there's nothing you can do on ice. It's the best driver without chains or studs. It's just like the rest of us. So it's it'll be interesting to see what happens.
My truck is still a popsicle from Saturday. We went to my in-laws down in, where are they? Ray Township, over at like 26th and Hayes. And, of course, it starts raining on the way home, and I didn't drive it yesterday, so my wipers finally just started working.
Yeah, it was, I was out in Ray yesterday, and, all the roads were fine, but then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it started snowing a little bit again. I thought we were going to get some snow, but it just lasted like 30, 40 minutes. But I didn't know that it was going to snow at all yesterday, so it was a fun little treat.
I have important news for travelers at sea.
All you?
QST, all amateur radio operators, Starbucks is free coffee today.
How long is the line? It may not be worth a free $3, $4 coffee.
Well, I'll let you know shortly. As I go past my 16 and DeQuinter stop. Good morning, gentlemen. Nice and chilly. I love it when it's in the teens or lower. Get to try out my parka.
Morning, Sean. What's the occasion for free coffee when it gets back to you? And, Anthony, I don't know if I told you, but we're going to be 891 bros again.
Sweet, you ordered one? Send it over to Sean.
Hey, remember, that's okay as long as the antennas don't touch. But, yeah, I don't know what it is. Just free coffee Thursday, February or something. I don't know. They just sent me a text and said, you know, iced or hot. You know, you can't get a foo-foo drink, but free coffee. So I'm going to find out here. I don't know why. Yeah, the 891, great little radio. I just never could warm up to the menu system on it. But that doesn't mean it's not a great little radio. If you can get used to the menu system on it, which I'm sure after a little while you do, you know, just a matter of acclimating, you know, then you get all the benefits of that package, you know, 100 watts in that package. And, yeah, tough to beat, really. I got a line on a 7000, but I don't think you're in the market anymore. The guy didn't shoot me a price yet. He kind of asked me what's the going rate, so I think he's fishing for what I'm willing to pay. But if you're not really looking anymore, I'm going to probably I don't know. But Donald, are you still in here? If not, over to Dakota.
Yeah, yes, I am. Good morning, Sean. Yeah, and the news about Starbucks giving away free coffee isn't going to do me any good, because the only thing I order out of Starbucks is the white mocha hot chocolate thingy. That's the only thing I order. So since hot chocolate isn't coffee, I'd have to probably pay full price, and they'll probably charge me double to compensate. But, yeah, I was just mentioning about the snow I heard earlier, and I was actually watching the news as I was telling you the other guys about it, and we could probably see about 6 inches. Other than that, though, I really don't have much more to add. I'm just fumbling around and with my cup of coffee, and that's about it for the moment. Just listening, just monitoring. Dakota?
Hopefully it's the same 6 inches I tell my wife and not an actual 6 inches, because I really don't want to deal with it. Let me know the price on that 7,000, Sean. I just sent the 710 back and told them I wanted an 891. I haven't done anything yet. They have to process it still. But the Tech Prepper has this bag, and I'm a D-bag for, like, these portable kits. So that's my plan, is pop an 891 in there. He's got these, they're Armalock machined rails that you relocate everything so you don't have to take it out of the bag. And I literally just have to throw a wire in a tree and I'm operating. So I like simple and small.
Dakota, those bags are virtually impossible to get your hands on. But that other guy, Radio Made Easy, he has a bag that is in production for those radios, so you may want to check him out. They're not cheap, but they're very cool and well made.
Okay, I'll try to get a price on that. I'm pulling up to the window here. Wasn't bad at all. So I don't know, Anthony, if you want to take advantage, if you haven't got the, you know, the 12 and Equiner or 12 and John R. You know, you got a ton of them between your shop and probably wherever you're at, so you might want to give it a try. Although probably the ones off the freeway would be a little bit more busy than this one here. Anywho, let me get through the drive-thru, find out if there's any conditions to the deal, like you got to be a rewards member or something, and I'll be back. W8FU.
Hey, DBM. Anthony, I don't know. I turned you on to marsupial gear. I don't know if I've told you about Everly stock, but I have an Everly stock Bandit, which is a super small, like, I think it's like 1.7 liter backpack. It's tall and narrow, and it unzips all the way, and it has some, you know, auxiliary pockets and stuff. That's my plan. I was going to use that. But yeah, I mean, the Tech Prepper one, even he says in his videos, he's like making YouTube shorts and he goes, you can't get this one anymore. It's like, well, dude, people want to buy it. Like, why are you showing it?
Yeah, he's been through a couple different suppliers. I've been watching his videos for a long time and never been able to make it work. I've heard that guy is a unique human being. I've talked to a couple people who have met him, and I can imagine he's not the easiest to work with. He seems like a real perfectionist and probably very good at what he does, but probably can be a unique experience to work with him.
Okay. Yeah, he definitely seems like the type of dude that, like, color codes his underwear drawer and folds his socks, but I don't care for him. Like, I just, unfortunately, the way he operates is the way I like to operate or want to operate, not to the extent where I'm going to go camp in the desert and whatnot, but, like, you know, these small compact kits, you're doing the digital stuff, so I am going to get a DigiRig because they came out with one for the 891, by the way, for yours, and, so yeah, that's my plan. And then, I don't know, since I don't have trees anymore, that's kind of what I'm going to do, is just have a bag, and if I want to operate, I can roll out a piece of coax, stick something in the ground, and be done.
Dakota, you and Sean doubled. I heard the end of yours about how you're going to just operate mobile and roll out a piece of coax, but didn't get the rest of it, so... throw it over to Sean to give us the full report of Starbucks, and then back over to you, Dakota.
Okie doke, yeah, so it's a free call, coffee. That's all, you know, and which is fine. That's about what I order normally when I'm in a coffee mood. And it's free, but you gotta get it with the app. So you have to be, you know, you have to be registered with them with the app. So if you got that, you get a free coffee.
So do they just have to, like, scan your rewards QR code or something and you get it for free, or do you actually have to, like, go on the app real quick and place an order?
No, you just present your scan, you know, your phone at the window, and they scan it, and, you know, right out of your app, and away you go.
Well, I am not a rewards member. Anthony, are you?
I am, but I usually make coffee at home, and I have a full cup of coffee, and I'm not going to make time to stop there today, but it is cool that they're doing it. I think it has something to do with the Super Bowl. I don't know. I think it was probably just a big ploy to get more people to sign up for their app. So, whatever. It's easy to download Dakota, and you just set up a email address in there, and you can get points and blah, 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 blah. But it's not that big of a deal to get access to it.
Yeah, I've been a member. I used to hang out in Royal Oak on bike night with some guys, and I'd go up there quite often, and we'd hang out right by the Starbucks, so we'd sit there and drink coffee, and they give us free refills, so you'd buy one, you know, tall coffee, and you'd drink all night if you wanted. Of course, who'd want to drink coffee all night? We did. There were a lot of guys that were, like, AA members and stuff, so it was good for me. I was fine with it, I got my, back then, it was like 07, I think. So I've been a card-carrying member since then. I use it all the time because I get points, and then I'll get a free, you know, I get one of their foo-foo drinks every now and again for free, and I'll load it up with extra shots of espresso, and, you know, it would be like $12 friggin' dollars if I was to, you know, actually order that and buy it, but I get it for free with points. And then they give you other little incentives and stuff like that every now and again. Or if you want to get a shot of espresso, you know, in your coffee, which is real good. It takes it up next level. You know, you can get it for free with a few points. So I find it's worth it just for that. But not going there quite as much as I used to because they've hiked all their prices. And, you know, and it's just, I don't know. It's now it's kind of where, you know, out of my comfort level. Like this tall coffee would have been $2.85, which isn't, you know, way out of line. But you know, the minute you go off the ranch and get anything fancy from them, you know, you're up near $5 before you bat an eye. And I just, you know, nah, sorry. I guess Dakota, right?
I watched this YouTube video before, and it was about how Starbucks has basically an untaxed, unregulated bank account because they sell so many gift cards that they're not taxed because they haven't sold anything yet. It's like store credit. And people lose them. People get locked out of their account. People forget about it. And it's like millions and millions of dollars that Starbucks doesn't have to pay tax on.
Well, that is certainly good for them. That's quite the scam. If I could pull it off, I would.
I'll have to figure out what I can sell gift cards for. I like it. But, yeah, that makes sense. A gift card is... Well, I mean, they're going to get you for tax when you use the gift card. That'd be the only way to do that is make the tax paid on the gift card, and then they'd have to say anything bought with a gift card is untaxed. Somehow they'd have to, you know, because otherwise, you know, what's more fair than they're winning out on that on a loop, on, not a loophole, but people screw up, you know, and don't use their money, don't use their cards. So, you know, that's not their fault, and they're getting the windfall of that. But the option is what? You know, double tax everybody, tax it when you buy it, tax it when you, and it would be us that would be getting it, because, you know, we'd be paying if we'd pay the card. I don't know. You'd have to figure out a way to do that. Maybe they'd have to, you know, have a
report unclaimed cards, you know, and have an expiration date on them, that'd be a lose for us again. You know, unless the expiration date was 5 years or something, I guess, if you don't use it within 5 years. But I guess every solution that you know is going to screw us, right? Because that's how government works, you know. We pay for all the solutions. It's like tariffs, you know. As great as they sound, who pays them? We do.
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating that there's just that much out there, but it makes sense, right? It's thinking about gift cards, like, and it's not necessarily like people lose them or they get locked out, but like, you've got 50 cents on it, you throw it in the garbage. You've got a quarter on it, you throw it in the garbage. Like, you're literally just throwing that money away that was paid for to Starbucks, but not paid into Starbucks, or paid out by Starbucks and products. So, I don't know, kind of cool, it was a good watch, random, but it popped up in my, you know, lovely algorithm somehow. But, yeah, it's my interesting fact of the day, Anthony.
That is interesting. We're all guilty of it, like you said, and then on top of it, there's, you know, that's not exclusive to Starbucks. That's like every corporation, every retail corporation would be exactly the same. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's probably, you know, I mean, would it be billions of dollars? Who knows how much is lost, you know, in unclaimed gift cards. So, you know, the only solution would be you tax the gift card upon, you know, sale, then you'd have to find a way to, you know, say you don't tax gift card usage or something, I don't know, then the tax would be paid up front, but I don't know, you know, so, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, is it enough to worry about? Probably, it is interesting, though, I never thought about it, now you bring it up, and wheels are turning, but, yeah, I got like Michigan Lottery. I've got their app, and I bought some tickets through them. And I've got this 50 cents on it. I don't know how it got there, but there's like 50 cents that you can never use, right? It just because you know there's only so much you can do with the app. You know, you got to spend a minimum of five, but there's nothing really that adds up to five. You know, because everything's two. So you know, often you go in there and you have a, and it's a minimum of five. So, you know, so really it's six. So how do you use 50 cents? So that 50 cents is going to sit there in that Michigan lottery app for eternity. I'll never be able to use it.
NHDBF. I mean, once you start noodling it, you think about all the places where you've got a couple cents laying around. You're like, I'm never going to get that out. I'm sure they're not to the scale of Starbucks, but, you know, it's like money. It's currency turned into nothing.
Well, it's awfully easy to do when you digitize it in that capacity, right? Like, it just goes away, or it goes in somebody else's pocket as, you know, like unclaimed funds. Whether you figure out a way to get it out at some point or not, they have had your money and able to utilize your capital for that amount of time. It's a wild concept in how far it goes and how far down the rabbit hole you could go if you really wanted to think it through.
You know, as I was talking about my dilemma of the 50 cents lottery, it occurs to me, I don't know that you can deposit. If I could deposit, like, let's say, I don't know if they'll let me deposit, let's say, 550, and then I could use six, right? But I don't know if you can deposit anything or if that's even fixed. I'll have to check that, because I know, Do I normally deposit? No, I don't. Yeah, see, I've never deposited into the account. That would be how I'd have to get it. I'd have to deposit an amount in that gets, lets me use that 50 cents. I want to do that because it annoys the hell out of me every time I see it. But I've got other cards, like Dakota mentioned, that, you know, they've got 25 cents left on or 50 cents left on. And, you know, what the hell am I going to do with that, right? So, you know, it's just they're sitting in a pile over there like, I don't know if someday I get another, you know, refill of this particular card somehow. I don't know. I just don't know how I've ever. It's like a Speedway gas card I found in Don's ashtray. It was a van, and it had like $3 on it. How the hell do you use a $3 gas card? I mean, I guess you could go to the place and, you know, use that towards, you know, just take $3 off your fill up or something, but, you know, I never go to that place, and I didn't want to fill up there, so, because the prices, it's Speedway, and the prices aren't that great, so, I don't know. A lot of these things, if I just sat down and thought about it, I'd have a solution for it, but I think, like, to Dakota's point, you know, you just throw them up on the shelf and you say, ah, you know what, I got 25 cents there, screw it. But, Ryan, do you remember hold on one second. Do you remember, oh, God, probably, it's got to be 10 years ago now, somebody found a way to skim, like, fractions of a penny off of these, off of all these millions and millions of transactions. You know, it was something in Taiwan or something like that. Somebody was skimming like a quarter penny or something, or rounding. They were just rounding up. And nobody, it was like on bank statements, nobody noticed it. And they figured they got away with millions of dollars, millions and millions of dollars skimming that rounding up that little penny. And then when they finally got them, I don't remember what the outcome of the story was, but they got millions before it was discovered. Dakota?
I don't recall that incident in particular, but it does sound a lot like cryptocurrency mining, where, like, it's same but different. It's monitoring all the bank ledgers and figuring out, you know, solving the blockchain, and you're getting a fraction of a doge or whatever. Kind of the same principle, but or as we're talking about this, I'm thinking more and more of these things. So I've got your Michigan lottery thing, it reminded me. So Steam Games, which is like the biggest online read seller of, you know, PC and Xbox, or really PC games, you have to load, you know, to buy something, so it'll add, I think at around $5 is what your, like, quote, bank is, so you can't put in, like, $17.50, it'll be like $20, so then you always have money kind of just sitting there, and then it starts to accrue, which it's not a bad thing as long as you're continuing to use it, because eventually you've got enough for, like, oh, look, I can buy this now. But yeah, that kind of jogged my memory of that. Anthony?
AE4ZYQ.
Go ahead.
Gentlemen, this is K4ZYQ, Joe Clinton Township. Just one and done here. You're talking about money. Save your pennies. I think I heard they're going to stop making pennies. So if you have a bowl full of pennies with especially old dates on them, they may be worth some money in the not-too-distant future. So just thought I'd throw that in. Have a good day and good day at work or whatever. K4ZYQ, over to you, Anthony.
Yeah, I've heard, I've seen a lot of stories about that recently, that there's been recommendations of that. You know, that is definitely not a new concept or a new theory. People have been talking about doing that for years, and a lot of other countries no longer have the penny. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Over to you, Dakota. Remember what the order was.
Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, so I would be all game for that. Pennies annoy me because, you know, they're on their own. They're not. The only thing they're good for is their own sake, right, when you get some sort of. But then, of course, everything changes to, you know, a nickel, you know, ends in a nickel, you know, on the five. So, you know, again, we'll probably, everything will round up from, you know, 98 to, you know, straight. What happens? And then what happens to all the people that love that, you know, advertising of making it 92 or 99? They'll have to go down. They'll have to go down to, you know, a gallon of gas would be 395, you know, instead of 399 like they love to do. So 75 instead of 79. So those places that are using that to mentally get you, is it worth it anymore? Just make it 380. Because that's a penny below the number was always a psychological thing, which I don't know if it really works for anybody. They'll have to move to the nickel, which I'm all for it, though. Like I said, I could do without pennies. And you know what really, speaking of money, what really annoys me is not all ATMs. I understand some you can pick your denominations, but most ATMs and all the ones I deal with, it's only 20s. And I need
all the time. I need something that needs a 10 or a needs a 5. And so I can't just go to the ATM. Like if I find something on Craigslist or on Facebook Marketplace, it's always, oh, you know, like I bought this little heater thing on Saturday, $5. I don't have a 5. I can't get one from the ATM. I ended up going to the restaurant I go to normally, and the waitress broke a 10 for me. I happen to have a 10 only because earlier that day I had broken 50, you know, but I normally don't have 5s and 10s. It never when I need them, and that's annoying as hell. So, but rant over. Dakota?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't like change in general, and it sounds horrible, and I know cash is king, and like, you know, the more digital we get, the less control we have over the money and all that stuff, and I'm 100% in that school of thought, but at the same time, I'm like, God, I hate pennies. I just want to throw them. But I save them. I've got a little jar at home. If I ever use cash for anything, I always throw my change in there. But, yeah, no, I agree. Every ATM I go to, it's, you know, denominations of 20, and, you know, the $3 or $4 charge, it's like, dude, I need $15, and I got to pay $23 to get the $15. It drives me nuts. But, well, I just got to work, gents. I'm going to jump out of here. And real quick, I wonder how many people listen to us ramble in the morning. Like, I think it's K4's ZYQ. I always forget that we're broadcasting all over Southeast Michigan and we're just rambling. But there's my ending thought. So you guys have a good day, and maybe I'll catch up with you on the way home. And hey, DBF.
See you later, Dakota. Yeah, I think there's far more people that listen to us than we would ever imagine. Every once in a while, I'll get, when I am talking to somebody, he'll, oh, are you one of those guys that talk in the morning and sometimes in the afternoon? Like, oh, yeah, that's me. I just got to Home Depot. I got to run in and see if they have any more salt, so I'm going to be out of here, and I'll call back out when I get back in the car if anybody's still around. K8RUH, and I will be clear on your final, Sean.
Okay, perfect timing. I just parked. I got to get inside and start my day. Everybody be safe, stay warm, and yeah, don't remind us people are listening. Then we have some obligation to actually not babble and talk about interesting stuff. I prefer babbling and talking about nonsense. Catch everybody later. W8FU.
Trust me, it's not babbling. It's interesting subjects that most people don't talk about, no matter how minute, how small, how big. K4ZYQ, have a good day.
W8RCY, it was announced on the news wire this morning that Trump has already ordered the Treasury Department to stop producing pennies. So it's already out there. Everybody have a good day. W8RCY, we're clear.
Yep, that's where I heard it, yeah, watching the news, for sure. Yep, I got a few, a little bowl full of them, different old pennies, so sometimes those things can be worth, you know, $1,000 eventually for collectors. Once they stop making them and they stop in circulation and they get lost, thrown, you know, lost, whatever, they start becoming valuable to the collectors, at least, not everybody. K4ZYQ, you're clear.
My ex-wife was a waitress, and we rolled pennies all the time, and we rolled $600 worth of pennies and paid for a vacation, went towards a vacation we went on. Again, ex-wife. But, yeah, if you save your pennies, you can do stuff. Yeah, that was back in, like, 79, before I think my ex-wife and I got married. We were engaged. We went on a vacation. Like I said, or as a waitress, those pennies add up. You just throw them in a jar and just keep rolling them when the jar gets full, and put $600 together in no time to cover the cost of some of that vacation. All right, I got to throw myself together as well. Everybody have a great day. W8RCY.
I'll leave you with one thought. There's a comedian that said something about people used to say a penny for your thoughts. I can't say that anymore, but a penny for your thoughts, but everybody always throws their 2 cents in. So somebody's making some money on that transaction.
Yeah, now it's with the way social media is now, it doesn't even cost anything. It doesn't even cost a penny for somebody's thoughts. They just open up their mouth and say it anyway. All right, WARCY.
That is true. KE4ZYQ clear. Have a good day.
Well, when I was in the Army over at the Armed Forces Exchange Services in Germany, we didn't use that. They routed it up or down according to where you fell in these cases. Yeah, thank you.
Apparently nobody has any salt.
KE8VSI, KE8VSI, you listening, Greg? KZ8Z Mobile.
KF8 Delta India Zulu Mobile monitoring.
KF8 BPA monitoring.
Knock that crap off. Alright, turn that shit off. What is it? Come in with a damn Roger.
What kind of tomfoolery is going on out here?
A lot of dead key testing throughout the morning. W8 or CY.
I heard there was a bunch of noise and racket that I missed.
Oh yeah, that too, I forgot about that. Yeah, there was like, you know, siren sounds and screeching sounds and yeah, lost my train of thought there. Chiropractor messed me up good. Yeah, that was going on too. I figured you might have been monitoring or having it on in the background at the office, so you might have heard it, and so on and so forth. But yeah, I heard it, sometime between 9:30 and almost 11 o'clock when I went down to get my back adjusted.
right, well, it sounds clean now. I got to hear it. If it were Intermod, it could have been Phil. He's putting a 20 dB preamp on his repeater today sometime. That could have went all squirrely on him. That's not uncommon. But pure speculation, because I was not out here to hear it. I heard it being described as digital burst and squealing and honking, and I've heard all sorts of descriptions. So, all right, anyhow, I got to get back to work. Thanks for the info. Delta 8 of you.
I'll add to that, on my radio, which is dual watch, you know, we show the Warren repeater on the top half and his West Bloomfield repeater on the bottom half when it went off simultaneously like that, if that's of any helpful information. And sometimes it was all on just the Warren on the dual watch. So, because the dual watch on my radio, the bottom half is scanning everything, amateur and GMRS, but wherever, I guess whatever is locked in on. So that's about the only thing I have to add. All right, have a good day.
W-8-R-C-Y. At ABBF.
WRCY 565 to operator 676.
You're on the wrong band, Don. You'll be up here.
I just switched radios. I should have caught that. My bad. Thanks. I'll make sure I slap my hand there for being a bad finger pusher, button pusher.
Yeah, it's easy to get confused, I know. This is your breakfast, so hopefully someday you'll return. Talk to you later, ABAP here.
I appreciate the kind words. Maybe, maybe not, we'll see. W8RCY.
KE8VFI.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Happy sunny Monday.
Yuppers. Has it been warm enough to melt the snow? I got mine cleaned off pretty good yesterday.
was wondering if it would melt.
Yeah, I delayed clearing mine until yesterday afternoon, and I'm glad I did it because it's pretty much gone now, looking pretty good. So, yes, to answer your question.
Yeah, I got a, I've got a big Aaron, you know, twin face, 24-inch cut. It's not, you know, it's not a monster, but, you know, it's a good size one. And it's not good for this, you know, this little fluffy stuff like we had the last couple. And, but it's not really working all that well for me. Carburetor issues. And, so I have a new to me, I think it's a box store, but it's a single stage with a paddle type auger, you know, real good for the light stuff and smaller jobs and lighter stuff. And it's a lot easier to fling around and all that good stuff as well. And so I fired it up yesterday morning, and I couldn't get it to run past the prime. I would prime it, you know, pump it 3 to 5 times, pull the cord, start right up. It would run until the prime ran out, and then it would die. And I, you know, every time I do that, prime it, it would run, you know, every single time. So obviously it's not getting, you know, its regular feed. I think prime comes into the top of the carb, and I think the regular feed's got to come in through the jet in the bottom of the bowl, so, or the rod in the bottom of the bowl. So probably clogged there or something like that. But I got all pissed off yesterday morning because I couldn't get my damn new snowblower running. But I ended up getting around it.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, you've got it good. Perfect having one of each, you know, one hardy snow thrower and then the smaller one for the lighter stuff. Mine's kind of in between those two, and it works out for my situation. But, yeah, nothing more frustrating than it runs on prime and then stops. I hate that. Whether it's a snow blower, a weed whacker, or I've had an airplane engine do that. Hopefully you'll, I don't know if you actually got it going or you said you found a way around it, I don't know, but yeah, that's aggravating.
Yeah, and it's probably the jet, you know, down in the bowl, it's probably a clog or something like that. I know the thing had been sitting a while, so, you know, who knows, there's a little, you know, build up or something in there, but I was reading online, you know, any quick fixes, obvious fixes on this stuff, and one guy suggests, he goes, you know, that was happening to mine. He goes, what I did was, I got it started up. He goes, then I would keep priming it, you know, until it started, and then it would run on its own after a while. So I said, I've never tried that before. And as I went out there and I did that, I started up, and then I would, just as you would start to hear it, you would prime it, you know, a couple times, and it would continue, and you'd prime it a couple more. And sure enough, it took right off and ran, and everything was fine from there and out. So, but the warmed up and cleared or something, but I, you know, writing's on the wall. I never could unchoke it completely. I was able to get it to almost completely unchoked, but that's telling me I got some sort of a restriction or something, so I'll have to deal with it. If I can just get through this miserable stuff, I suppose I'll look into it.
Yeah, it needs a D&C, dusting and cleaning. I'm sure that's going to take care of your trouble there by everything that you said. I've never done a continuous or repetitive prime to keep it running with a primer, or, you know, the little bulb or whatever, but I have done it with starting fluid, where it took starting fluid to have it fire up and then, of course, fail. But if you could, I would keep squirting, this is my generator, I would keep squirting it in there and keep it running, and then after, a half a minute to a minute, it finally started running on its own, and to a point where it was usable. Eventually, I ended up, I don't remember if I got a new carburetor or totally rebuilt, or I had a guy come out here and do a repair on the whole thing, and it runs like a top now. But, so yeah, that eventually will, like you said, either heat up or clear out enough to get it to go. So, very good.
Yep, I should have the new garage up, insulated with heat.
before next winter, and you know, that then I'll go through and I'll get all these all rebuilt and get them running like a top, and then that'll go a long way to help. I don't know what it is about snowblowers. I've had a number of snowblowers. They always seem to have carburetor issues. I don't know why that is. I've had other, you know, I've had carburetor issues on a number of, you know, lawn and garden implements, but it seems to be just like a given with winter, you know, with snowblowers. I don't know what it is. So it makes them uniquely susceptible. Maybe you just don't use them all that often, you know. But, you know, like a lawnmower, at least you crack it out during the summer, spring, summer, and fall. You got it out, you know, once a week or so. And maybe it's just the snowblower is, you know, can go a very long time before you need it. But regardless, it's a pretty easy fix on the one. I think they're both carburetor issues. So the big dog, ain't running right now at all. And I know that's a carburetor issue. The kid tried to rebuild it, and I don't think he did something right, and it's all boogered up. So I might even take that one in and have that professionally fixed up, get a new carb on it or something. Once I get the garage insulated, heated, all that stuff, and I know it's deep. Live a pampered life.
Yeah, Roger that. Yeah, I agree on the snowblower always being the troublemaker. My last, my current one is electric. It's only a year old now, and that I have no issues there, obviously. The one before that, I bought a real good one. Again, middle of the road, you know, between the big one you got and the little one you got, but it was a pretty nice one. And it was a Honda, and you know, those engines are notorious for running great forever, and it pretty much did, hardware-wise, you know, the augers and the whatnots, and things corroded and rusted and wore out, and I repaired it a few times, and then just finally went electric when I got my lawnmower. I ended up getting a second battery sort of free, which is what you needed to for the snowblower, so I basically got a good deal, so I took it. So yeah, but yeah, and I do think it's related to the amount of time between running it. So I bet once you get that thing going, make it put a little note in your phone or something, or a reminder to run it once a month for 5 minutes, you know, and I'll bet you it'll be good to go for a long time.
Yep, no, that's probably the trick. So I was going to ask, and you answered on that last go-around, when you say you got an electric, you know, I mean, at first I was thinking electric start, yeah, I got that on my snowblower, but you meant full electric. And I do remember when you got the extra battery, it wasn't quite popping off, so they sent you a whole new one and told you to keep the other one, so good for you, but... So interesting. You actually have a battery snowblower. I guess since you can keep the batteries in the house where they're, you know, out of the worst of the elements, and only take them out when you're ready to go, I suppose that's it's got a lot of advantages. You know, at first I'm a little reluctant for electrical appliance, you know, electrical components in the really cold weather, but the batteries don't and the charger don't have to be in the cold. Just the snowblower. How's that working? You said it's in between. So is it like an auger, like a plastic auger style single stage, or what? What is it?
I don't know what the single and double stage stuff is. I think it's a single stage. It's got like rubber paddles on it. And it throws it out the top through chute just like any other one. And it works great. It needs the two batteries, got a headlight, it's got heated handles. it works as good or better than the Honda one that I had, which seemed a tiny bit bigger. But we'll see over time, because the paddles, they, you know, I got a couple of uneven driveway pads, and if it hits that wrong, it really thunks it hard. And on the Honda one, it ended up breaking those paddles a couple times, or prematurely wearing them out. I got a feeling the same thing's going to happen here, but so far, so good. But as far as clearing the snow, it's great, and it's not self-propelled by, you know, the wheels being turned by a motor, but it is designed where the paddles kind of propel it, which it does. I mean, I don't push it at all, so that's kind of nice. So it does zippy-doo, zippy-dee, I get it done. And I've had, you know, anywhere, it works great on the dustings, like you said, your big one doesn't, and I understand that, where the little one does. And then I've had, you know, the 6, 7, 8 inches of snow, at one time, I think, anyway. But usually, you know, we usually get like 4 is a heavy snow here anymore. And it, either way, it gets through it, no problem. So I'm real happy with it. If it died, I'd probably buy another one. I mean, depending on why it died, but, you know, or if it got stolen, I should say, I would buy another one.
Yeah, it may be a long time, you know, because the big one is a lot more, you know, to muscle around. I may not pull that out at all if I can get it with the single stage. And yeah, so single stage means that the auger, you know, is the total action. It picks up the snow and then propels it through the chute. A dual stage has a secondary auger in the chute. So it it has a big auger that picks up the snow, and then a smaller one that propels it up the chute, and it can shoot the snow, you know, 30, 40 feet, you know, and really go through some deep stuff, you know, with that. So that's the difference between the dual and the single stage. And, you know, if you're dealing with, when you get that real, you know, heavy, mucky stuff, and you start to get, you know, 6, 8, 10 inches, you know, that's where the dual stage really starts to shine. But, you know, then by the same token, it's a whole lot to do about nothing with this little, you know, half inch or inch we had just recently. You want to clean it off because it'll compress down and make a mess and freeze and all this other stuff. And so you want to clean it up, but cracking out that thing for that is just a bit much. So, you know, I'll see how this one works, this one I got. It's not a small one. You know, it's more like what you're describing. So, and if it does the job up to, you know, like, you know, 6, 8 inches, then even if I have to go at it in bits and pieces and slow, then hell, I'll probably just convert to that and call it a day. I don't know, we'll see. I've used it twice and it's been real good. Riddle me this, though. Hold on. So you were saying that the impeller kind of pulls it, or I guess that would be the auger, it kind of pulls it a little bit. And I've noticed that with mine that I can actually feel it whacking the ground, you know, kind of, and it pulls me. You know, it's like propelled by that. And I kind of wondered, you know, is it not adjusted right? Have I got to adjust that so that it's not doing that? Because I would imagine that's really banging the hell out of that auger.
Yeah, well, excuse me, the current one that I have, the new Ego battery one, it's actually advertised as a feature. I'm not sure if they call it self-propelled or some other sort of propelled or propel-assisted or something like that. So, yeah, you can feel it beating the ground just slightly, and it's enough to pull it along. And it's you know, it's listed that way. The Honda did the same thing, but I don't think it was really as strong because I did kind of have to push that one a bit. I'm noticeably different. You know, I've got my back issues and whatnot, so I mean, I know that I was working harder with the Honda one than I am with this one. So, I don't know if that answers your question. I can say that, yeah, mine is by design. I don't know if the Honda was or not, or if yours is or not. Maybe look it up and get the brochure on it and see if that's the case or not.
Oh, I got the book and everything on this. I'll read up on that. I never thought to, you know, look into it. It was only the second time I used it yesterday, and it kind of struck me. You know, I remember it the first time, and I didn't think much of it, and the second time it kind of, like, struck me as, I don't know, is that normal? So I'll look it up and read up on it. But it worked real good. I mean, did a great job on that little bit we had. And, hell, I could have probably used the leaf blower for what we had. You know, truth be told. But I've seen that done. But No, I like it real well. It's working pretty good. It's just like a yard van or something. It's like one of these box store, you know, specials, you know, that are sold under six different names, Troy Built or Yard Van or whatever, you know, they, I think they're all made by, you know, the same company with a different, different badge on them. Of course, almost everything is like that anymore. W8FU.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, okay, roger that. Yeah, okay, well, yeah, look at the documentation and see what it says. I'm sure it's by design. I mean, you know, and there is an adjustment. There's a bar that goes across for how hard, you know, it hits the ground or whatever, or the level of it, I guess you could say. So worth looking into so you don't prematurely wear something out. But, yeah, very good. And that big one, you got, like, if you've got a ton of cement, like a driveway that goes all the way from the street into the backyard, dual wide and all that, you know, that's where those bigger ones come in handy, or a corner lot with a ton of sidewalk. you know, I'm in a standard subdivision. My garage is at the front of the house. You know, it's dual wide out to the street, and then just my sidewalk. And so it the one I got is I don't to get that big one. For the once every 2 or 3 years, we get 10 or more inches of snow. I don't have a need for it, and I can see where you might have a greater need for one, but still not a lot. So I believe that was Eric. I'm going to hand it over to you. If not, take it again, Sean. I'm getting called away here, so KE8VSI, I'll listen out.
No, it wasn't Eric. It was Donald, W8RCY, but I don't know if it's a compliment to be sounding like Eric or not, but I just throw it, you know, Sean mentioned all these manufacturers' names all under one badge, and that's why I threw out the whole thing. That's all. I'll let you guys continue on. W8RCY.
All right, Greg, I got one more question about that propelling action, but if you've got to step out, I'll catch you later or something.
Go ahead, shoot.
So I find that, you know, when it's blowing, it pulls right along to the point where I gotta be pretty brisk walker to keep up with it. It goes pretty damn good. You know, if I want to slow it down a little and hold it up, like over some, you know, I got to kind of work against it. It's a lot more effort for me to hold it back than it is to trot with it, you know. I mean, I don't got to run, but I mean, I got to walk at a pretty brisk pace to keep up with it. Do you find the same with yours or not?
Yeah, when I'm doing the sidewalk or the longer runs, yeah, if I let it go and do the whole everything it's got, I'll be doing that little trot like you're talking about. But there's a finesse between physically slowing it down, in other words, being a load on it, or leaning it back just a little bit. So there's a little finesse there, because if you lean it too far, you're not cleaning the snow. So there's a little bit of finesse there between being somewhat of a load on it and somewhat leaning it back, in other words, lifting the propellers off the sidewalk slightly, not even off, just less pressure, I should say. I think you know what I mean, but yeah, mine does the same thing. It'll get me into that trot, and once you get that finesse down, it's actually real nice. It just goes at whatever pace you really want it at.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. No, I noticed that because there were a couple of spots where I had tire tracks where it had pushed it down a little bit, and, of course, you know, I just slowed it down over those, and it really broke those off real good and cleaned that up a lot better. But, yeah, you kind of work that for if you got a little bit more crap you got to deal with. All right, I'll let you go. It sounds like mine's working almost exactly like yours is, and it's just new to me to have the single stage with the rubber paddles. I've never had one before, so I'm just not sure how all they work. The other one definitely, you know, the big two-stage, you know, it actually has a drive, you know, and, you know, so when you you know, you can engage that to whatever degree you want, and then the augers and all that stuff all stay running at the same speed, and, you know, and then they're designed, you know, that's a metal auger, so it's not to touch the ground, you know, so that's why, hell, it's hardly even any good for this kind of stuff, because, hell, you got to have it about that high off the cement anyhow. So, all right, I'll let you go, and I'm going to read up when I get home.
All right, very good. Yeah, we got 4 to 7 inches coming Wednesday afternoon, evening, so we'll see how that goes. And good afternoon, Don. Good to hear from you. I got to get out, though. KE8-ZSI, clear.
KF8-TWF.
All right, I don't think Donnie's taking it. If not, CWF.
Hey, Sean, you want to be friendly to your carburetors on your small equipment like that, find some rec fuel. That's good old-fashioned, non-ethanol gas. And what happens is the ethanol evaporates and dries when they're in storage if you don't put the proper amount of stable in there, and it clogs up the works. Where the old stuff just breaks down into varnish, but that takes six, eight years or something like that. So what I do is all my small stuff, I just run the rec fuel, and I don't even have to put stable in it. Every spring or summer when I pull it out, it's good to go.
Yeah, I use the stabilizer in motorcycles, things like that, but I don't know how the dual stage got boogered up. That's just a long story, and I don't know the history on my the new one. I just acquired it a little bit ago. So, you know, I don't know how it got to the point. But, yeah, that sounds good. Now, what are you saying? Are you saying, did you say rec fuel? Like a short for recreational or something? Or what are you saying there? I'm not quite catching it.
Yeah, it's recreational gasoline, and it's pricey. It's between $4.50 and $5 a gallon, depending on where you get it from. But I run that in all my quads, and if I can get it, I run it in my Harley, and I run it in all my small stuff, my chainsaws, and all that sort of stuff.
I wouldn't even know where to find that. I'm going to have to look it up.
Trips at Denmile and Sherwood has it. It's on the outside pump closest to Sherwood. That's where I get mine from.
You know, it's funny you say that because the first thing that came to mind when I thought, where might I find it, I thought of that place. I said, I'll bet they have it. So, sure enough, look at that. I can't think of nowhere else, though, but that works. That's not terribly far. Was there somebody else in there? All I heard was K. I didn't catch anything else.
K8NOR. I must not be getting in. Never mind.
No, you're getting in just fine. Just, I don't know what happened there. Maybe it was a double or something.
Okay, so I just had a quick comment. I was just going to leave, what was it, Greg? I was going to second or third his experience with the paddle-type snowblowers. So you're right in the groove with that one, sounds like.
Yeah, it's just a new experience for me. I have no background, so it was a little... I was taken a little aback by it, you know, taking off like that, you know, and kind of drumming on the ground. And, you know, it does a much better job cleaning. It gets right down to the cement, you know, and leaves very little. So as far as that goes, I'd almost prefer using it, you know, to its limitations. And hell of a big one, you know, just save that for if you get one of those massive dumps that we haven't seen one of them in a long time. Hopefully we won't for a long time. Or ever again, as far as I'm concerned. You know, not around here anyhow. I don't mind I'll take a good foot of snow, but after that, yeah, you're just piling on, right?
Copy that. Yeah, the other thing, too, is that depending on the temperature, it don't take much. I mean, 4 inches of those wet snows and the paddle ones are done. And all it does is ball up in there, and you'll experience that at some point. But the closer we get to spring, they get a little frustrating because they're no longer chucking it, and that's where the two stages kick in a little better. But yeah, the two advantages of your single stages is that the rubber beaters, don't worry about beating on them. They're designed to get worn down. They're designed to clean all the way down to the ground, all the way down to the pavement or whatever. And the other thing is it naturally gives you a self-propel action. And you kind of get used to rocking it forward and bringing it, you know, kind of not doing anything with it or rocking the handle up a little bit depending upon how fast you want to go chasing after the thing.
Roger. Okay, well, all cool. Sounds like good information. What's going on here? There's no way I can be the next up at the drive-thru pharmacy. There's got to be something wrong. Their phone's always broke. And not today. Wow, I'm lucky. All right, at the pharmacy, gentlemen. Thanks for all the info. I'll be back. There'll be interview.
Good afternoon, W8RCY. I get to see you twice in one day. I feel honored.
Well, you cost me an extra stamp now because I already sent out the bill for you talking to me this morning. If I knew you were going to talk to me twice, I would have put both bills in one envelope with one stamp. Now I got to spend another stamp. And you know stamps aren't getting cheap.
Oh, that's almost an hour's salary now to mail a letter with one stamp.
Yeah, I copy that. So, did you have a good day at the office, or what did you do to stay out of trouble?
Funny you should ask. The chime system they have for the brake valves and that went ballistic at 9:12 when they ended the first brake. And they were chiming constantly for over an hour. I didn't have any work, so I took a nap, and I didn't hear them anymore.
Wow, you can get a nap in at work. Wow, I never had a job like that. I did try to take a nap once, and I went out to my car, and they were knocking on the window to wake me up because they had a major problem. And it's like, I'm on my lunch break, please. You know, can't you guys do this on your own? Oh, it needs a manager's code. Oh, all right. And, I could change the code. I can just give them the code, but, you know, there's only certain people I trust with the code. And come back from lunch, and I would just change the code again. It's that simple. But, no, I didn't go that route.
Well, unfortunately, our plant manager thinks he's saving money by not doing the predictive maintenance on our tooling and our dies and stuff. So I'm not as busy as I should be because of it, which is going to bite them in the ass in the long run when they just won't make parts anymore. So, yeah, he wants to pay the piper later instead of now, and I get days like today. I didn't even turn on a machine. Very boring.
Yeah, it probably makes the time drag, too, I can imagine.
Well, normally I'll do something to keep myself occupied so that I don't fall asleep, especially being on day shift. I'll get up and, you know, do stuff, walk around, talk to people, actually clean up what little dust accumulates or what have you. But, yeah, with that noise going on today, I just kind of put my noise-canceling headphones on and turned up the music a little bit. Bye-bye.
That's kind of funny because when I work in racing, there isn't a sound over the headphones of my noise-canceling headset. I mean, yeah, you have race cars going by and stuff like that. You have the ambient noise outside of you, but there's nothing comes over the radio. I mean,
unless an incident happens or an accident happens, and, you know, and then the thing screams during, you know, if you're out watching a certain part of the track or whatever, you could easily fall asleep, you know, to the tune of the engines and stuff, and not even hear a radio call, because the radio calls are far and few in between, unless it's, like I said, unless there's an incident. So it's almost like an opposite thing of, like, what your guys are dealing with.
Yeah, well, I just don't. When it hits, when the storm hits, because guys aren't cutting metal anymore, then I'll be freezing for me. But until then, I do what I gotta do. Alright, Don, I will just surrender. And, Don, well, I don't know how else to explain it, but the panel job that Don has, right on spot with mine as well, dragging them along, almost at a trot, and the best thing I can recommend is recreational fuel for him. Gentlemen, have a nice day. KFE, CWF, clear on your final.
Well, this goes back some time. When I got married in 1980, Toro was just coming out with those snow throwers with the paddles on them, and I heard Sean and Greg talking about it, and it brought back memories of how one of those Toro snow throwers would pull you as well. The paddles would really just pull you along in the back wheels wherever, hardly on the ground, but man, those machines worked good, and they got it right down to the cement, and I remember putting... I don't remember putting Stabil in them in the wintertime. I just ran them dry and took out the spark plug and stuff like that. And I believe they were an oil and gas mixture. So that, like I said, was like almost 44 years ago for me. And I actually have one of those little electric battery-powered snow Joes or snow shovel things or battery-powered things now that are all the rage. And works pretty good, but now it's over at my girlfriend's house, because the only thing I got to shovel is a 50-square-foot balcony, and I don't even do it anymore, so she has it for her deck out back, so the dog can get it out. All right, everybody, have a good afternoon. We'll be monitoring for a while. W8RCY, we're clear.
K8RUA, Tremaine ABDF.
Oh, my God, I hate Walgreens.
Did you get what you needed?
Yeah, in the end I did, but, God, it's always something with these people.
20 minutes to go through the drive-thru pharmacy. I don't know if that seems normal to you, but that's outrageous. And one script. You know, and then you tell them, you know, hey, this is an oversized script, so it's not going to be in the regular bins. They're looking around. What is it? You know, it's like, did you do what I said? Did you look in the place where they put the oversized stuff? You know, of course they didn't. I don't know if it's just my Walgreens or if it's all of them or if it's just the fact that they're completely overwhelmed since Rite Aid shut down and most of the other one, what was the other one? Can't remember. Anyhow, enough on that.
CBS. Yeah, no, I jumped in the truck at 4 o'clock and was waiting to pull out on the whole road. I heard you talking to Donald, and then you cleared out at 4:08, and Donald and the other gentleman cleared out, I don't know, 5-10 minutes after, and I'm like, man, where the hell did Sean go?
Yep, had to get my script that they said was ready, so, I don't know, crazy. Anyhow, and it looks like the sun, what little bit we had, did melt most of the crap left on the driveway here, so a couple little spots, but the little paddle snowblower did okay. Anyhow,
I'm in the driveway now.
Yeah, I wish it would stay like this. I'm really not looking forward to this next winter storm, but... Alright, sounds good. Get inside, and maybe I'll catch you later. I'm gonna... It's my wife's birthday today, so I'm heading home early to take her out. So, I don't know if I will turn the radio on her birthday. NADBF.
Not unless she requests it. Alright. Wish her a happy birthday. Well, catch you later. Enjoy. W8FU.
KE8RUH.
NADBF.
Early day for you there, buddy?
Yeah, I left at 4 so I could take Amanda out for dinner for her 31st birthday.
Well, that was awfully nice of you. Trying to get some brownie points. What are you trying to hunt this weekend or ice fish?
No, I bought a MetaQuest 3.
Okay, that's a good enough reason. I have a, what's the, is that the virtual reality goggles?
Yes, sir. Mark's director came in today, he bought a pair this week, and he was telling me all about it. I'm like, you bastard. I was like, I've been on the fence about these things for like a month and a half, 2 months, and I'm like, all right, I'll do it.
I have a Oculus 2. And it got some use when I first got it, and it doesn't get any use anymore. I gotta get my daughter to learn how to use it, so maybe she'll start playing some games with her friends or something like that. But, man, I haven't had this thing out in a while.
Well, charge it up. We're going to play some golf and some other shenanigans. But the main reason I wanted it is there's a game called Ace Shooting something or another. So it's a legitimate, like, ISPCA training simulator. And I'm 3D printing a Glock frame that is meant for the Oculus controller. So basically, it's like a semi-reasonable training tool. So that was the main focus. But then he was telling me all this other crap he's doing with it. He's like, dude, I was playing Madden. I was, like, in the pocket, handing off the ball. He's like, I can play anything. So since I'm a PC nerd, I can stream all my PC games to that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, we had, there was a group of dads in the neighborhood that would play putt-putt once a week, and that was fun. And then I have seen that Ace, the shooting simulator, I was actually on the list to get it in pre-release and never followed through with it. But once you 3D print that, the Glock controller handle, let me know how that works, because that would be very cool. I still think about buying that every now and again.
I was looking at other, like, dry fire training things and all that, and they're so expensive, so I was like, all right, I'll, you know, at least this is multi-purpose and I can do other things with it, so I figured I'd give it a fair shake. I bought the 3D print file, it was $9, and it's going to cost me $1 in filament, so I was like, you know what, I'll try it, because their guns are $200, and they don't have a Glock, so I was like, well, you know, what are you going to do? I don't have a choice now, I got to make my own.
Yeah, you know, I can't remember how much the app is, but I remember that the handle was like $200. It just started to add up and get real expensive real fast. And, you know, it's one of those things where you pay for it, you just hope that they're going to continue to improve it, maintain it, add different scenarios. And it was, like I said, it was pre-release and... It was just a lot of money, and I'm like, what if these guys don't maintain it? What if, you know, they're a startup? What if they fail? And then I got a bunch of money wrapped up in it. It just wasn't worth it at the time.
that's probably about the time that I first found it, too. And I'm like, this seems like a lot of money for something that's not even out yet. But now, they're stable, they're out. It's a subscription. That's the thing I don't really care for, but at the same time, it means you get all the new courses and all the updates and all that. So it's $168 a year or $19 a month. So you get a discount if you pay it annually. But I'm hoping they've got a trial, or else I'm just going to do like 1 month and see how it is. But if it's good, then I don't mind doing it, because I don't have time or places to shoot that much anymore. So just staying, you know, fresh on a trigger isn't a bad thing. I don't even remember the last time I shot a gun was when I missed that coyote deer hunting.
Yeah, I've been shooting shotguns, and I shot that scorpion a couple weeks ago for the first time with the suppressor, but that was just to test the suppressor, and other than that, I haven't been on a range in a while.
That's how I am. I've got that brand new Glock 43X with the Holosun EPS carry on it. I haven't even shot it yet.
It's hard, you know. It's so much fun to go shoot, but it takes up a good amount of time, and time is finite. You got, what, 3 kids? I got 1. Got a wife to keep happy. It's there's only so much time for all these hobbies that we have, and typically, target shooting ends up being something that slips away, unfortunately.
Yep, I agree. That's why I kind of quickly justified to myself that, yeah, you know what, there's plenty of things I can do with this thing to keep me entertained, and I don't have to leave the house to do it. So give it a whirl, see how it is. But I am pulling out to the house here, going to run inside and shower and change real quick, and then we're going to go grab a bite and get home and do the mom and dad thing. So I'll be clear for yours, and I'll catch you in the morning. NADBF.
Cool. Enjoy dinner, and we'll catch you up with you in the morning. KE8RUH.
W8EAP.
It's not my fault you lost the money on the Super Bowl. W8RCY, go ahead, sir.
I lost two, what? Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, I make up for it, though. I won 300 and lost 200 over the years. I'm still about $100 ahead.
You just got to charge a little more every time you program 488 radios.
He pays me off in beer and sausage, Roger. Beef jerky. Those big bags of beef jerky. They're delicious.
So that's the gig.
Oh, okay.
Anywho, what reason do you have to bug me on a wonderful Monday evening?
I don't know, just checking up on you. I haven't heard from you in a week or two, week or so. Just heading home from work. A little bit earlier than normal, but I just finished up a job, and you know what, I'll just leave now. So before I start another job, I figured I'd scoot out the door. 9 hours is good enough.
In my opinion, 9 hours is more than good enough, especially when I used to work 10, 11-hour days when I used to work at Verizon. And 24 years ago, 25 years ago, I started with them in 2000. Yeah, I'm only supposed to work 8 hours and even half, 9 hours sometimes with, you know, lunch breaks and everything. If you even get a lunch back in the day, so
I usually work through lunches. The office that I worked in there on St. Clair Shores was the number one store in five states, and that place was a zoo. Before did we have record numbers, and I still hold a record for a couple of things from what I'm hearing. My name is on a wall in the new St. Clair Shores location in the back office for stuff that was done that long ago. I was causing the... what do they call it, the direct agency store, which is a corporate store, and even in a new office down by Harper and Little Mac, my name is still somewhere up on a wall somewhere. You know, these locations.
All right, Jared,
you're in there, KPP. Yeah, it was the same when I worked at Radio Shack. I worked 12, 13-hour days through Christmas, working at... radio station, going to college, and working at Radio Shack. Yep, I had some records too. I was the number one salesman in this district. But I doubt my name is on a wall anywhere. It's, they are bankrupt now. Anyhow, go ahead, KPP.
Sorry about that. I did not mean to barge in, but my volume was turned all the way down, and then after I hit the key, I realized that there was no volume coming back, no whoop, like the little radio does. So I didn't mean to barge in. I just made a mistake. So you guys carry on. Nothing big here. So just was throwing my call out because I was driving home.
Hey, no problem. You mixed right in there. You must have been from a different machine. You must have been from the Richmond machine because you didn't. It wasn't like you're stepping on, it was just like your audio was mixed in. And if two people are doubling, I can hear both, but no problemo. So yeah, days at Radio Shack. Wow, those are good old days. I'm surprised you didn't work at Radio Shack there, you know, Donald? Is it called Don or Donald now?
Well, we have a lot of Dons and Donalds on here, but I go by Donald, and that was the first Donald on the old Troy system, and before this whole thing blew up like it did. And since I was the first Donald, I just go by the Donald, and I even had the Donald title in high school long before Trump had it. And I even had a discussion with Trump about it decades ago when he was in his mid-30s or something like that. I ran into him at a function at the Pontiac Silverdome, a motivational speaker type of a thing going, and that's another story for another day. Yes, I did work at Radio Shack, and the one in Auburn Hills on Opdyke and Cross Street, I think, was South Boulevard there. There's a shopping plaza on the southeast corner with a Hollywood Market in it, and yeah, I worked there for about 3 years. And it was okay. I worked, like you said, I worked a lot of hours there. I was getting like close to 75 hours a week in that place. But yeah, those paychecks were good.
Yeah, with your cheery personality, I can see that you're a good salesman. Oh, man. I'd hate to catch you on a bad day at Radio Shack. You got dumb questions, I'm not going to lower myself to answer. That was your motto. Well, you got questions, I got answers. You have dumb questions, I'm not going to lower myself.
And good evening, Wally. You just want to sneak in, I know. And, no, I didn't say if you got dumb questions, I don't have, answers. I would just say, if you got dumb questions, get out of my store. That's what I used to say. When I worked for Verizon, you got a dumb question. Oh, my God. The stories, I could write a book on the stories I could tell you about Verizon. In fact, when Verizon launched here in Michigan from AirTouch in 2000. And, oh, yeah. Working at the number one store in five states, there's a lot of stories we can tell. But there was a lot of stuff we were free to do back then that we can't get away with now. We do things for people, give away free stuff. We had free reign to do what we wanted, 24 some odd years ago, whatever it was, and, it was fun, I worked a lot of hours, but I was also officiating and racing, and there were many a times I stepped off the airplane on a Monday morning, still in my, racing, officiating uniform shirt, and my boss looks at me and he goes, rough weekend? Still in the other shirt. And I said, don't worry, that's why we have lockers here, and that's why I have clean, fresh shirts in my locker. So I went into the locker room, and I changed shirts, and came out in my Verizon Wireless shirt, because it was called Verizon Wireless back then, and away I went. 8-hour, 9-hour day. Just coming off of an airplane.
Yep. Good old days. I liked working at Radio Shack. Worked at the radio station and going to Specs Hour. That was before 696 went through. I'd take 8 Mile towards the end there. I finally opened up 696. That was a big plus. And, got kind of sketchy over there on 8 Mile by Southfield and past there. Anyhow, go ahead, Wally. Take a round, if you will. I guess he doesn't want to take a round. Anyhow. Yeah, I'm just dragging today. Got home late. I was up way too late last night working on radios. A new one. One that befuddles me. This is not your typical radios. This one absolutely befuddles me. So this one's going to take a long time to figure out.
Only once Wally heard I was on the radio, he didn't want to talk, probably. He don't want to talk to me. He got to talk to you. Anyway. Good evening, Wally. Sometimes, you learn so much about such new technology and the way radios are put together, and that's any kind of radio. And then somebody throws you an old radio and says, hey, we're going to take a look at this, and it's the old thing. It's so simple. So small, it fits in your pocket, and they have a little telescopic antenna that swings out to you. It's so simple and so basic, and you open it up, and it's like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? You can open up a radio that was built 5 minutes ago, and it's like, oh yeah, I know what the problem is. You can fix that, drop a couple drops of solder here, put a new resistor there, and bingo, it's fixed. Sometimes the simplest things today that you used to do are so hard. Like, even helping your children, or in my case, I would have a grandson, but the fact of the matter is, I used to do this stuff when I was your age, and I can't even remember how to do simple math.
Now, this is a weird radio. It's a regular, it's your basic dual-band HT, but it has an actual shortwave radio built in, separate shortwave radio. It's not hacked to go down to 20 megahertz or whatever. This is legitimate shortwave radio. It goes down to 150 kilocycles, AM, upper lower sideband, FM, CW. It works separately from the radio. It has a separate antenna jack, which is really weird. I'm trying to go from the 2 meter 440 side to the side, or the shortwave side, is really bizarre. I mean, I kind of figured it out, but not quite. But I was really tired last night.
Well, fortunately for me, I'm not tired at all, because I did not watch anything that had to do with first year in quite some time. Myself, my sister, and my parents, the four of us got together and threw our own little private Super Bowl party, four adults and three golden receivers sitting around the bench and watching the game. And I think Joanne's dog Murphy, one of the golden receivers, was like bumming around the house, like, shouldn't we be doing something tonight? Why isn't you know, Grandma and Grandpa, Toby and Sam not here at the house, and we're all sitting around watching a game. You know, he sensed something wasn't right, because, you know, these golden retrievers are pretty smart. So anyway, I didn't watch the game. I was probably in bed just after the kickoff at that. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I saw one score of the, well, I won't say the middle of the night, but late, you know, before midnight. They didn't show, they didn't really post the final score on my phone, but this is halftime. 24-0, Philly, and I said, oh, this game's over with. And then I looked back and I said, wait, he said, what? Philly, 24-0? How'd that happen? Didn't Mahomes pay off the refs enough?
I didn't watch it all last night. I was up north snowmobiling. I didn't. But I almost won. I came real close to winning the square for the first quarter. 0-7 in the first quarter. I think I was 0-5 or something, 0-6. Anyhow, the quarter would have ended a little bit sooner, or a little bit, a couple less points. I would have won some money on the first quarter. Possibly the second quarter as well, because it was nothing to 24, I think. Anywho, I am home. I'm going to go in and mess around with that radio some more and get familiarized with it. All right. Nice talking to you on the way home. And I'll catch you out there again soon. WADAB.
Yep. Always a pleasure. Always having fun with you. And, you know, I have you listed on my separate listing now of ham operators. You know, I've got the big DMRS spreadsheet, but now I've got my own little tiny spreadsheet, and you're listed on there, and I have a little notation as to what, you know, what your association is, whether it be the company you work for, the line of work you do. You are labeled as simply Instigator, and, you know, I might have to upgrade you to Mr. Instigator, but... since I'm so honored to be the one that you got to talk to this evening. So, all right, enjoy your evening. Relax, get some sleep. Glad you were able to get some snowmobiling in. That's good to hear for a guy like you that loves the outdoors. So, do take care. We'll talk to you again soon. W8RCY, we're clear. And if Wally is still listening, I know you like me. You just don't want to admit it. Take care, everybody. W8RCY.
W8KZW monitoring.
KF8 Delta India Zulu monitoring.
We're settled with that guy that you bought that heater from, getting a new control board.
Yeah, I got like $47 out of him. We're still looking for the program for it. I've been happy with, you just gave me the program for the Bluetooth.
you know? I still like my $77 one better. I think it burns 10 times cleaner than this one, especially when it's on the low. The $70 one, it doesn't matter if you turn it up or turn it down. You can stick your hand in the exhaust and put it up to your nose, and you can't smell anything. This one, you open the back door to walk outside, and you can smell it, you know. You know, it's like all that Chinese stuff, Temu and eBay and Amazon stuff, you know. It's all try your luck, you know.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think I told you I had a problem with a radio I bought, that the CPS that they had for it was all in Chinese. And there was, you could switch it to English, but I had to get instructions on how to do that because I couldn't read the Chinese. The menus were all in Chinese. I couldn't figure out how to switch it to English.
A pitch tutorial, I guess, huh?
I think I figured it out just by looking up certain words and then seeing what the Chinese characters were for it, and then just start poking around until I saw one that resembled English, and I pressed it, and I think it worked.
Oh, well, it seems like we deal with more and more and more of the Chinese English issues, the more crap we buy, you know?
Yeah, that's true, and definitely some are better than others. I do business with a couple companies in China for my displays, one company that makes PC boards, and another company that makes the OLED panels, and they've both been absolutely wonderful to work with. They're almost like business partners. They've really taken care of me, so I can't complain.
Yeah, I've joined like half a dozen different diesel heater forums trying to get help on that one that I've got. I found one person. He says, well, he sent me a message back and told me once I get the app installed, let him know and he'll walk me through it. So I just sent him back a note. The whole problem is I can't get the app. So I'm hoping he'll give me a barcode or an address or the name of an app, you know. I already tried downloading a couple different ones and doing it, but no luck there.
So it's an app for your Android phone that connects to the heater over Bluetooth?
Yeah. That way you can go in and fine-tune some of the advanced perimeters. You can't do that with the push-button remote, and I can't figure out how to do it on the front of the unit.
Well, send me the make and model of that heater, and I'll see if I can. I'll send a question over to the company I do business with in Alibaba. They've been really good about finding stuff for me.
All right, I'll do that. Won't be tonight because I'm being lazy, but you'll care.
Nope, whenever you get around to it, fine with me.
All right. I'll get back to your TV show. I'm going to go get a refill. And Grumpy's in the showers. We'll catch you a little later.
All right, Mike and Carrie, you guys have a great night. I'll be talking to you tomorrow. NAWOT.
Yeah, take care. We all are winter prepared, just done. Yeah, right. NAWOT.